You unlock this door with the key of imagination.
Hi, and welcome to the Pinball Podcast. This is our second show, and it's November the 13th, and once again, I'm here with Don. How are things going, Don?
I'm doing well. What are you up to?
Oh, not a whole lot. My wife's out of state, so I'm here by myself trying to keep myself occupied, so it's good timing for a show.
Mm-hmm. We're due anyway. It's been about a month. So.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody out there who responded, who liked the Facebook page or helped spread the word. We got some pretty good reactions from the first show, so that was encouraging, and kind of keeps us motivated to keep on doing them. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, I saw a comment from Game Room Junkies, somebody over at Game Room Junkies, and that's actually one of my favorite podcasts I look forward to, and I'm not just saying that. It's a great show, so thanks for giving us a listen.
Yeah, they do a great job. I've actually gone back and caught up on the ones that I've missed, some of the older shows, and the nice thing about the pinball shows and the gamer shows is they don't expire. You know, the information's still good, so it's mm-hmm. still fun going back and listening to what they had to say in those earlier shows. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's been about a month since our last show, and you know, we're busy with all sorts of stuff, but what have you been able to do as far as pinball related activities in the last month?
I think a week or two after the last show, so maybe 3 weeks ago, I went to the Pinball Hall of Fame in Las Vegas, and it was kind of a kamikaze trip. I left Friday night after work, and I came back Saturday night so I could be at work on Sunday. So I played about 8 hours of pinball in there, and just me and two friends. I finally got to try a Tron LE, and I really liked it, except that the recognizer was not working.
Oh.
It didn't spin, so the ball just kind of like went up there and then dribbled out.
Oh, that recognizer's probably the coolest part on the machine. That's a bummer.
Well, I enjoyed it without that, but yeah, I wanted to see it in action. I think my favorite part was actually the chrome finish on the LE. It just felt different. It felt really nice and soft. I don't know. I didn't expect to notice it at all.
But was the lighting a lot? Was that pretty cool? I've seen pictures, and it seems like it'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, the lighting was really cool, the different modes. I never got, I guess there's like a blue multi-ball or something. I never got to like a mode-specific thing where it like turned out all the lights or anything. But just even watching on a track was pretty cool. They did a nice job with it. I kind of like the skill shot, even though it's half skill, half luck.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I'm glad I finally got to try it. And I actually spent most of the time playing Roller Coaster Tycoon. I probably played that game 10, 12 times when I was there.
There was one of those on location by my house until just recently. And it's kind of one of those games that if you're in the right mood for it, it's kind of hard to step away from.
Yeah, I had never really paid much attention to it. I thought it was kind of ugly and the theme isn't appealing. But then I started noticing, you know, oh, this shot makes the ball go here. And oh, this loops around to here or whatever. And there's a lot of cool little shots in there that I hadn't really seen before. And I couldn't step away from it.
Yeah, it's always fun to get down to that Pinball Hall of Fame. I hope I can get down there sometime during the winter, get away from the cold a little bit and play some.
Yeah, so. They have I don't know, at least 100 games going. Maybe 50 or 60 EMs and another 50 or 60, maybe more, you know, solid state games. And they've got, quite a few games you're not going to see anywhere else, as well as the newest Sterns and, you know, all the A-list games. So that was a lot of fun. And then just the other night, we called up a bowling alley that is kind of out of the way. Nobody really talks about it. Just to see if they had any pinball machines. They said they had a Space Invaders. So we went over there, and it was in kind of rough shape, but it was playable. And I'd never seen one in person. So, of course, I think you even mentioned the back glass to it last
week.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a cool-looking back glass.
Very cool back glass, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was fun to find a new game around town, though.
Yeah, the one that was on location disappeared. I don't know where it went. Maybe the guy took it back into his collection or he rotated it somewhere, but I haven't seen it for a little while, but it's a cool-looking game.
It the art kind of reminded me of Centaur. Yeah, a little but bit. I didn't realize it was such a wide game.
Yeah, it's big.
It's super wide.
It is big.
But what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, actually, just soon after we recorded as well, I got out and played Tron. It wasn't the LE, though, but still fun. There's a movie theater by my house that has it, and it's I drop in once in a while and play it. Hopefully, if I put in a few dollars each time and there's other people doing it, they'll keep buying new machines. It's a new arcade that they just put into the theater, so it seemed to have a good amount of people in there. They don't have very many games, but there was pretty much always someone at every game, but that was the only pinball machine they had. Other than that, I just went out and played at Nickelmania not too long ago, and they had rotated a couple games in that weren't there before, and one game that they had that I'd never really played before was Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in perfect shape, like totally clean, worked 100%. And, you know, I thought that was a pretty fun game. It has some good shots on it and a little bit weird. It's one of those games I know is love-hate. There's no in-between on that one. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. But
I'm on the other
end. You don't like it?
We have played it at Pinball Hall of Fame just to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have an opinion, but the game just went on forever. It seemed impossible to drain the ball.
That is something I did notice, that I actually, it's at a nickel arcade, and it's 3 nickels to play, and I only took 30 cents over to the machine with me, because I was there with my wife and kid, and they were playing ticket games, and I broke away to play a couple games of pinball, and that 30 cents lasted me probably 25 minutes. Yeah. I won a couple free games, and yeah, that's one thing, is if it did drain a little bit more, maybe there'd be a little more tension to it, but I think it being my first time, I was just having fun seeing all the different things you could do with it. But
yeah, there's a lot going on in that game.
And I know getting to like the wizard mode or whatever is supposedly pretty challenging, but it would take some time to learn that machine fully, but definitely it's a long ball game. So
we finally got to the point where we were bored of playing. And we just started walking off and playing other games, and then, oh, you know, come over and drain a ball here and there.
I don't know. So other, I just played a few more of the games that they had there. Just pretty much your standard location play, where I guess at Nickelmania the games are in better shape than average, but just trying to dodge the other people and get on a game. As far as at home, just always playing my machines. My son, he's 2.5, and he's kind of getting that age where he knows to flip when the ball's at the flippers rather than just pound them. And he's been asking to play quite a bit, so we put him on a stool. He stands in front of me, and we go from game to game. And he's got his favorites, that's for sure. And the 3 favorites of his are Spider-Man, Attack from Mars, and Bride of Pinbot. He likes the other games, but those 3 he goes back to nonstop, so...
Is it the theme or the lights or what?
With Bride of Pinbot, he likes the face rotating and the ball getting up in there. So he's always telling me, shoot it up, shoot it up. With Attack from Mars, it's all the stuff going on with the DMD, like the animations and stuff with the Martians. He likes pointing out anything that goes on there. The ship exploding kind of scares him when it flashes and stuff. With Spider-Man, I think it's just that the ball is just constantly moving so quickly in that game, and it's just fun for him to watch. So, the other one he really likes is Simpsons Pinball Party, but that's because he likes school buses, and they always show Otto's bus on that. But
yeah, constantly.
So, other than that, tomorrow I've got an appointment to go fix a machine locally. It's nice to help pay for a hobby a little bit when you can pick up some work. It's working on a guy's Lord of the Rings, and this is probably about the 3rd or 4th time I had to go up and do some fixes on it. He pulled it out of a casino, and it's been hammered to bits, but we've got it looking pretty nice, and the ring funnel on his broke, so I ordered him a new one. I'll be going putting that in tomorrow. But,
cool. So. Yeah, always nice to keep him going and restore old location machines. Yep.
So if you had anything else going on, or is that...
Only other thing I was going to mention is I hurt my back, so I've been in physical therapy the last month, and I wasn't supposed to do any pinball repairs. So the other day I was finally feeling well enough that there's 2 games across the street at a church in like the youth area that neither one of them was working too well. There's the fishtails that the right flipper was just kind of flopping around, and a Meteor that had a burnt out coil. So I went over there and replaced the coil on the Meteor. It took, you know, 5 minutes and, you know, worked great. And then the fishtails was something I'd never seen. The coil stop had actually snapped off. And I had never seen anything like that. So, again, that was an easy fix. I put a new coil stop on and the flipper worked great.
Wow.
So in a half hour, I got both machines up and going, and hopefully the kids are having fun with it.
Yeah, that's great. It's pretty frustrating playing a machine that's not tuned well, but when you have one, it's pretty hard to walk away from it. And I've got a lot of neighborhood kids around here. I actually teach a Sunday school class every Sunday, and all the kids are between ages 14 and 16 in my class. And whenever I have my garage open, I'm out there working. They're out in the neighborhood. They always are coming over and begging to play. So the ones that are working well, they have a really good time. The ones that are, you know, needing some work, they walk away pretty quickly, but
yeah, you know,
it's fun.
Well, those projects keep us busy. I mean,
yeah,
I love to have something to fix on the games.
Yeah.
But I also love for them to work. You know, you want to get other people interested and keep the hobby going.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, let's get into the news. There's not a whole lot that's been going on. I think as we're getting towards the end of the year, people focus on the holidays or, you know, just making the ends meet to get to the new year. And so there's not a lot of shows and travel going on as far as pinball-related stuff. But one of the first things I wanted to mention is it's pinball-related. It's digital pinball, however. And if anybody out there has played those Pinball Hall of Fame collections, I mean, they have them for the Wii, DS, 360, PS3, and whatever, even, you know, PSP and such. They're pretty fun collections, and I've actually had a chance to sit down with those developers and talk to them when I was down at E3 a few years back when they first started putting those collections together. And they're coming out with a new one that they're calling the Pinball Arcade, and this will be coming out in early 2012, and they're saying that they're going to have over 50 different tables with not at launch. Over time, they'll get to that point. But every month, they're planning on releasing about two new tables that you can download. And they're launching with several, you know, classic games right off the bat. And this time, they're also going to have Stern tables in the mix. Before, it was just Williams and Gottlieb. But this time, they're going to have Williams, Bally, Stern, and Gottlieb. So, being pretty great. So far, we know of that when the game releases, it's going to have Tales of the Arabian Nights, Ripley's Believe It or Not, Theater of Magic, and Black Hole. So,
and they've also they mentioned that this will be the first time it comes to iOS. So the iPad, the iPhone.
Yep.
I can't remember if Android was on there or not, but that's a huge install base that people seem, you know, virtual pinball seems to be big on those systems.
Yeah, they've done really well on those platforms. And the kind of cool thing is now that they're doing real tables again, if people see those on location, they may want to go and, you know, drop a few quarters in and compare them to what they've been playing on their iPads or consoles. And
whatever engine they built, I think it's the best physics engine.
Yes.
It's not, the games aren't the prettiest. They're good looking, but it doesn't have the reflective ball that some of the newer games are going for.
Right.
But the physics just feel more like real pinball.
Yeah, the biggest gripe I usually have with digital pinball is when it feels like, you know, if you hit on the front half of a flipper, it's always destined to go to a certain shot. Or if you hit on the back half of the flipper, it's destined to go to another. And it's not quite as physics-based as you'd want it to be. But these like you're mentioning, the ones that Farsight's created, it feels like a lot more physics-based. And I'll tell you, man, I've probably put 20 to 30 hours in the PSP version of the Gottlieb Hall of Fame.
Really?
Well, they sent me a review copy for that, just a review download code. And I just got hooked, man. And I'm playing games like Genie and El Dorado, and they're tough. Because the physics engine's pretty spot on, and they get pretty tough. It's fun.
I got that collection on the Wii, and I had it on the PS2, which is the same as the PSP
right.
one. But on the Wii, they added Goin' Nuts, which was a low production game.
Yeah, they have that on the PSP version as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Sony has
I loved that table.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that is a crazy game.
It's just like a constant multi-ball kind of thing. I think it was a white body, because there's a lot of different areas to shoot the ball. And they also had a Playboy, which was an old flipperless game.
And that one's not on the PSP version.
That game, one of the challenges was like, I think it was score 1,000 points or score 2,000 points. And when you do that, you would unlock another mode. And I have never been able to do it. I played the crap out of that thing. But it's not as giving with the credits as the Williams Collection was. You really have to play the free games, earn the credits to go play the other games.
Yep. That's
Whereas on the Williams, I probably had over 400 credits.
You know? Yeah, and that's how it is on the PSP as well. But so that's Farsight that makes those games. And I think they're probably, as far as the digital pinball goes, they're probably my favorite. As you mentioned, the graphics aren't the best, but the physics are great. So,
and I kind of like that they're doing the pinball effects kind of pay-to-play system. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, anyway, the way it sounded is that you download the tables you want, you know, $2 each or whatever.
Yep.
So you're not, you know, downloading every table.
I
kind of like that.
I like it, too.
It means that we're getting more tables.
More tables, and you're not forced to pay into a package where maybe you'd only want a couple of the tables. So, So like I said, there's no solid date on that yet. Early 2012 is what they've said. Usually in the video game industry, that generally means late January to early February. But we'll have to we'll post on the site when we know an exact date for that.
Yeah, awesome.
Other little bits of news, and I guess these came out of Pinball Expo, which, unfortunately, we didn't get very good reports this year from Expo.
No.
I saw, you know, I thought you were asking around a little bit on some Facebook groups if people had heard a lot, and then others were chiming in saying, you know, not a whole lot was said. And we know there was plenty of things going around at Expo. It sounded like a great show. But a couple of the bits I was able to hold on to is the Ben Heck and John Papaduke project. And that one they're expecting to take pre-orders starting January of 2012. Have you seen much on this at all?
I haven't seen that they really announced much. Of course, I've seen the backglass art or whatever. Right. And that's about it.
And so from what I understand is the relationship there is Ben will obviously be doing stuff mostly on the electronics side, and then John will obviously be doing a lot of the art side, and as far as helping, they'll collaborate on layout stuff. But sounds like a cool project. But from what I understand, it's going to be a lot like John Papaduke's Magic Girl, where it's a high end, very limited run project. So I imagine if you don't get it on the pre-orders, you're probably not going to get one.
Yeah, but I'm kind of, you know, sad to hear that. I was hoping it'd be more on a Jersey Jack scale, like, you know, 7,000-8,000. But
no,
hey, more pinball is more pinball, and
yeah,
that's what we got conventions for.
Yeah, and as I said, I think that's a game you'll be seeing at conventions, because it's probably going to be in that 14,000 to 15,000 range, is my guess, and they'll probably just build to order. Whoever got on pre-orders, maybe a few extras, but you never know. I mean, if there's enough interest, it could, you know, get them to do a larger run. But I think these guys are just building by hand themselves. So,
oh, right on,
and the other thing is Wonelli has managed to sell a few tables as well. Mm-hmm. So what do you know about that?
I know they built 4 completed games, and 3 of them are sold already. I saw a picture of Greg Ferris with it looked like a stack of playfields. And I know they sold, if not all the playfields, most of the playfields through Expo. I know people were talking about, oh, they're gone now, people on RGP. And they've been selling backglasses for over a year now. So maybe there's a kit there. You can kind of do your own thing. Or maybe it's just, you know, great Greg Ferris art to hang on the wall.
Yeah, I would love to have one of those back glasses. Put them in a light box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. My wife and I, you know, we both love their games. And we bought they had like a little $80 Woe Nilly logo that was framed by Dennis. Mm-hmm. And he painted the wood and everything. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's not the back glass, but we wanted a little piece of the Wonelli project in our home.
It's a good thing to support either way. Oh, so yeah, we're actually looking to move soon. We're getting our house ready to sell and clearing out all the clutter and all that fun stuff. But when we move, we're gonna, you know, actually make sure we have space for the game room we want, and I'll probably be looking at decorating it with some stuff along those lines, some back glasses and light bulbs. light boxes and such. And the Wonelli one would probably be one of the first ones I like to grab because it's so unique.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Well, then, this last one is kind of a mix of rumor and a mix of news. And when Stern was doing a Transformers video, we don't know if this is an actual leak or if it's a tease or what, but there was some possible AC/DC information that slipped into that video. And once again, what's your take on this?
Yeah, there's a little like Devil Horns logo that showed up on one of Steve Ritchie's computers, and it showed up again like right in the middle of the playfield. It does kind of look like the AC/DC horns. You know, at first I was trying to think, oh, well, are the Skrulls using horns for something? Is that Loki, you know, from Thor?
Right.
But I don't know. It looks pretty solid. Who knows if it's just a gag? But because it's right in the center of the playfield, like, it looks like part of the design of the playfield image. I don't think it's a farce. I don't know.
And that's been one of the stronger rumors over the last couple of months, is that they were working on a AC/DC project, and Steve Ritchie did say his next machine was a license and one that he was really excited about. So, mm-hmm. He did say it was more of a kind of a timeless one. And I guess as far as music goes, AC/DC is multi-generational. And, I know.
Yeah. He said it was huge and it was something that nobody's seen before.
Right.
So I was thinking, well, it's probably not another Star Trek game. That was rumored.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking Avengers, but, I don't know. I think I heard that Borg was working on that one.
Yeah, and that's, you know, they have to be doing an Avengers one. It's just with how big that has been coming in the movies, and the comic book themes have been strong for them. But yeah, I didn't think that was Steve Ritchie. So maybe AC/DC, or like I said, it could just be a joke. They kind of joked around a little bit a while back with things like the Muppets or the Munsters, and, you know, led people on a few kind of wild goose chases with those, but...
Yeah, we should find out in the next month or two.
I would think so. It's about time to reveal those and start building up the hype, so...
Yeah.
That's as far as I had it for news. Did you have anything else that caught your eye over the last month or so?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Yeah, this time of year, it's basically just things are slowing down a little bit. They're probably more focused on their production lines. And I mean, obviously we've had a little bit more stuff come out from Jersey Jack. That seems to be shaping up pretty well there. And interesting, everything that's going on with Wizard of Oz.
Have you heard anything more about the kind of like beta locations?
I haven't.
I know he's talked about, you know, getting some beta machines out in December, and that's pretty soon. I mean, that's 4 weeks away.
Yeah, that's not far. Yeah, I have not heard anything about location. My guess would be a nearby out to the East Coast, but you never know.
Yeah.
So, events, again, not a whole lot going on right now, but there's one convention going on, and it's the IAAPA. This is a convention for amusement parks, basically, and Stern is having a booth at that one. If you're interested in finding out what it's about, their website is IAAPA.org, and it's the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions. I'm sure Stern's there, probably showing the last couple of machines, probably Tron, Transformers, trying to get some sales going into amusement park arcades. But I think that would be a fun show to go to. I don't know if it's one.
Yeah, we were looking at the seminar list, and Jeff and I were both like, hey, that would be fun.
Yeah. So, I'm sure if it's a very significant presence, that Pin Game Journal will probably put some pictures up from the Stern booth, but that's going on this next week. I don't know if it's a public show or if it's a, you know, industry credential show, but that's it, man. For the month, there's not a whole lot going on, officially, mm-hmm. as far as pinball events go. We missed the Chicagoland show that already happened, so... Yeah. Well, let's jump into our featured machines for the month, and let's start with the physical machine first, being one that actually we'd been asked to do, and it's one of my favorite machines, and I don't think you can have a pinball show without talking about this machine sooner or later, and
yeah, pretty much
that would happen to be Twilight Zone, and mm-hmm. you own one, Don, right?
Yep, I think we both got one.
It was actually my second machine, and one of the ones I can remember most vividly from when I used to play stuff on location. But what do you have any stories surrounding the machine at all?
Yeah, I've actually got a good story on how we ended up with it. When we were just getting into pinball, we went camping up in Colorado, and at the campground, they had a Twilight Zone in their little game room, but it had, like, grease all over the glass, and it was unplugged, and it just looked like it had never been, you know, it hadn't been touched in years. And, you know, we were just getting into pinball, we didn't really think about it, but it kept nagging at me. So about a year after that, my wife called the campground and said, "Hey, would you guys be willing to sell that?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, it's just been sitting there forever." So at the time I had just bought a Last Action Hero machine. I don't know why I bought it. It was just one of those things like, "Hey, there's a new pinball machine on Craigslist. I got to have it." So I think I paid $900 for it, and it was worked fine. It was in good shape. So I called the campground and said, "Hey, you know, I've got this working game. Would you be willing to do a trade?" So they said, "Yeah, that sounds good." So we traded the, Last Action Hero for Twilight Zone.
That's a good trade.
That's a good trade, yeah. So, it was pretty difficult to get out of their little room, but we went up to Colorado, brought it back. I cleaned it up. I ended up putting about $300 worth of parts in it, but it works great. The playfield is pretty well perfect. There's no nicks or anything on it. You know, it looks great. It works great. I've never had any problems with it. The one thing it's missing is the clock, though. At some point, somebody just cut the clock right out of it.
Oh, wow.
And luckily, the game software has an internal clock that you can, you know, turn the clock off, and it keeps track of it for the modes. So it doesn't affect the gameplay at all, but there's still this big kind of hole sitting there.
Still.
I thought about putting an alarm clock or something in there, but that's a difficult piece to replace.
Yeah, I've got a housing. If you find the clock, I'll give you the housing, but...
Well, I've actually got a brand new housing, a new old stock housing and faceplate. It's hard to find a complete thing, and I've thought about just piecing it together. But just some of those parts are so hard to find.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, there's been times when we've talked about it, we're like, okay, if one goes up for $400, let's just do it so we'll have a complete game. But they just really don't go up very often.
Yeah, so if anybody out there has a clock...
I would love to put a clock in there someday, and it doesn't look bad or anything.
No, it's a cool toy, though.
If you know what it's supposed to look like, then you know what's missing.
Yeah, it's a cool toy, that clock. Yeah. Mine doesn't have any special story to it. Bought it out of California and had it shipped here while my wife was pregnant, and I was thinking, you know, my budget's going to go down pretty soon as far as pinball machines go once the kid shows up, so better do it now. It's a machine I had always wanted. Obviously, my buying didn't slow down after that, but I thought it might. So I went straight for Twilight Zone, which is one I remember playing quite a bit. And I was only, like, it came out in 93, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so when it came out, I was only 12 years old. But I was just so into, like, the Street Fighter II and kind of fighting game craze at that point that I wasn't playing a lot of pinball. But Twilight Zone was one that my dad really liked, and I would stop and kind of stare while he played that game because there's so many crazy things that were going on and the sounds. And kind of talking about Twilight Zone, there's so many different shots and so many different types of modes. But what are a couple of the features of it that you really like about the machine?
The thing that always captured my imagination was the gumball machine, which is just kind of out of place for it. But it's such a cool shot. You hear... You know, you hit that right loop, it loads into the pinball machine, you hear that pop, you know, that of the ball going in and then another one popping out, and it's just a really cool little toy, just kind of stashed back there.
Yeah, and once you kind of add the little gumball mod in it, it looks real nice, and it's always like an exciting thing when you see the Powerball trickle out of it.
Yeah, the Powerball's the other thing. There's a ceramic ball in there. That's not affected by the magnets. You know, there's different magnets, and there's even magnetic flippers in the game. I'm sure most people that are listening to this have played it at some point.
Yeah, they.
But the Powerball plays completely differently. So it's always nice when, you know, friends are over or people that aren't pinball people, And then this white ball pops out. They don't really know what to do with it. And then it's so fast. They kind of like, oh, that was cool. Then, you know, I want to keep playing until I get that ball again.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun.
When my friends get that, they're always yelling, I got that white ball. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yep. And
Twilight Zone was actually a game I don't have fond memories of, but I always loved the show. And my wife and I had played it a few times before we traded for that game. And neither one of us liked it. We were planning on trading for it, fixing it up, and selling it. And we just both really fell in love with it. There's a lot of depth there. Yeah. It's an all-around very solid package, and it's one that my wife always says, we're not getting rid of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's one of those games that I don't see myself ever parting with. Kind of the same thing, as I always enjoyed it, watching it. Like I said, I watched as a kid. I didn't play it a lot, but when I had a chance to get one, I knew, you know, it's one I've always wanted to own based on how it looks and such, but when I really started playing it, I just love the game now. But as far as, I mean, like you said, most people are listening probably pretty deeply familiar with the game. So I kind of want to talk about what kind of mods as far as Twilight Zone do you like, or are there any that you dislike?
Yeah, I was just thinking that too. I wanted to ask you.
Because,
it's kind of a hot topic. Some people say it's got way too many mods. You know, it looks like a toy store.
Uh-huh.
And other guys love putting mods in. I really don't care. If you want to put mods in it, I think it's cool. It's not in my game. I've got just a few. I think you and I have talked about this in the past. Mm-hmm. I've got the little swirl, the spiral zone sign
mm-hmm.
that goes next to the mini play field just to kind of point out where the spirals are.
Yep.
I've also got the die cut lamp over the mini play field mm-hmm. with the blue LEDs. And a friend gave me a lamppost for the jet bumper area,
right.
Which was pretty cool. The one mod I'd still like to get is the camera, because most people don't really understand where the camera is. And I always thought that was kind of cool and out of the way, and it's just like a good location. I do think that the game is missing a lot of light, especially along the shooter lane. There's just, when you're playing in a dark room, you can't see anything on that side. And there's not much to see, but I kind of like to see the whole play field.
Sure.
I'd like something over there. A friend of mine has got the gramophone, the TV. He's got a pyramid. He's got the Robbie the Robot, which is awesome.
It's an expensive one.
That's a really cool mod. It's very expensive, but it's very cool. He's got the Thunderbird, the light-up little gumball machine, which is actually pretty cool. Yeah. He's probably got a few more. I don't even remember.
Yeah, on mine, the theory I went with as far as mods is I like the ones that clarified the shots. So I do have the camera and the lamppost because it kind of gives it that town square feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I did do the gumballs just because it looks weird without having them in there to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to me, that's like a no-brainer. Yeah. It does look so weird without anything in
there. But the camera is really nice because before I had that one, I always had friends saying, what is the camera shot? It told me to hit the camera. And now there's no question on that. Let me think here.
The rocket is actually really cool. There's a couple rockets that are kind of lame, but the one with the little light up flame.
That one looks awesome.
And the silver rocket, that one looks really cool.
Yeah, I haven't been able to drop the money on that one, but it does look really cool.
Me either.
The other one is, and mine came with it, is the one that keeps it from bouncing out of the rocket shot. That one helps quite a bit.
Well, what do you mean?
There's a little bit of a mod that you can do.
That post?
Yeah, the little post that keeps that from bouncing out. Because you make the skill shot and then it rolls right out. It could be kind of frustrating. Hmm. But I haven't done much to it aside from that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I added. Oh, I added the extra two door lights to it. Or you can have it so that the two door lights that don't have lights in them originally. You can add those in.
I put the target decals in.
I did that as well.
I'm a big fan of target decals.
And I actually like those a lot because the greed lights are pretty hard mm-hmm. otherwise. The clock on the little stand-up target's really nice. So, basically I just went after everything that made it easier to identify shots.
I think I'm forgetting kind of the biggest one is the slot machine upright target. The reinforced upright target.
Yeah, and I've done that as well.
I've never seen one with a non-bent slot machine target. So they make really cool reinforced targets, which I wish every game had that. I know the Data East games all have those type of targets.
Right.
It's such a simple and really great idea.
Yeah, and especially for games that would have been out on location. So, but yeah, I mean, like, I'm kind of with you. If people want to mod them up, it's great. But I don't want to get to the point to where it gets too cluttered. The machine is pretty busy already. But anything that helps identify your shots better is really important, given how many times it asks you to shoot for specific stuff.
Yeah, it's a very stop-and-go game.
The only mod, and it's a really popular one, but I just really, really dislike, and it's fine if people want to put it on, but it's the slot machine that goes above the slot machine scoop.
That spins?
Yeah, and it looks great, but that's not the shot that's actually the slot machine, so that's the only reason it bugs me. Because in order to...
You're too picky, man.
In order to make that spin, you have to hit the not slot machine shot.
Right, you gotta hit the ramp.
It's cool looking, though.
It is very cool. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure if I saw it and played a few games with it, then I'd probably end up getting it myself, but...
That's one I forgot. My buddy has that one as well, and it's pretty cool when the ball rolls under it and spins it. But by then, you're kind of so concentrating on the ball, not the slot machine. So.
If I got hard-pressed and I was asked to tell what my favorite game is, I have trouble answering that, but I think in the end it probably would be Twilight Zone.
Wow.
It's one that I just never have a bad time with it. Yeah, I can get frustrated because sometimes I think it's treating me unfairly, especially on the left out lane, but I just love it. I am always chasing just a little bit higher score on it. I think as far as music goes, it's probably my favorite. I think that has the best music. I love the high score entry music once you've put your name in and stuff. I don't know. It's full of good music in it.
The audio's great, man. I love the car crash when you shoot through the bumpers.
Yeah. And the power, his voice is great.
Yeah.
When you've got the Powerball going around, the music, the voice, it just gets really intense. And it almost kind of makes you nervous. Like, yeah, I got to make the shot. But
I love the spare change, the cash register ka-ching.
Uh-huh.
It's a great game.
Yeah, it's just a bummer that it's the last game before the DCS audio system. If it could have been the first game to incorporate it, that would have been perfect. But Indiana Jones got that, and Twilight Zone didn't.
Mine actually, I'd say of all my games, that one's probably got the best audio. Like, just the speakers seem to really kick on my particular game. I think they're factory, but... I don't know, maybe it's just different.
Minor factory, and they do. They seem to... It almost feels like a mini subwoofer in there. I mean, that cabinet really kind of rocks and rumbles a bit, so... I don't know what the deal is, but it's great. It's just a nice-sounding machine, and the artwork on it's fantastic.
Yep, so. Love it. One of the best back glasses ever.
Yeah, it's my favorite. And, as far as mods go, there's always the LED or not. I posted on a forum the difference of what the back glass looks like with cool white lights behind it rather than the warm white incandescents. I put in some cool white LEDs, and it really makes that back glass pop.
I did the same thing. I, for the most part, do not like LEDs in the back glass or in the back box. But that is one game that does look really crisp. And I think it's because there's so many different things going on. It's not just one solid color in any areas.
Right.
So it doesn't look spotty.
And I would say if you were there, the most dominant color probably is blue. And so the warm whites tend to kind of wash that out a little bit. But it looks great with LEDs.
And we're not alone. It's Twilight Zone is consistently the number one rated pinball machine, probably of all time.
Right.
Some people might object to that, but it's consistently at the top of all of the lists.
It's top right now.
As far as player ratings.
The pinball database right now has it number one.
I've only one time not seen it at number one, and that was when the Avatar Special Edition came out, and it had seven perfect tens.
Right.
But that didn't last very long.
Well, we know you got yours for about 1,200, 900 plus a couple hundred and fixes
parts.
And parts. And
yeah.
So we won't ask you whether you thought it was worth it or not, but mine, I actually paid 2,200, which is on the low end.
Oh, yeah, that's great, too.
It worked just about 100% when I got it. It was just a couple little mechanical hiccups, but nothing broken, mostly adjustment stuff. So I got a great deal on mine. I think if you're kind of in the market for one, the range is pretty wide. There's a lot of factors, things that people look at. Obviously, mechanically, what's working, what's not, because it's not the easiest machine to work on. There's a lot of layers of stuff on it. It's not too bad if you kind of take your time, but it can be a little overwhelming. So obviously on this machine, it seems like any little fixes need to be made tend to weigh a little bit heavier on the price. The cabinet decals, this is one of those games just notorious for fading really, really hard. Mm-hmm. I got one that didn't have fade on it. It'd been just kept indoors and away from sunlight, and I think smushed between two other machines its whole life. So it looks great, but that's one that seems to affect price quite a bit. And I know the gumball can be problematic as well, but I've seen them range as low as 1800 for really, really rough shape ones, all the way up to, I mean, if you're talking collector's quality, you can see them pushing 4,000 or 5,000 depending on how tricked out they are and stuff. But as far as average goes, I would say about 2800 seems to be a good price for one.
I ran a search, an auction search on Pinpedia, and the lower I could find, the lowest ones I could find that's actually sold in America were about 34.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
And, you know, on the upper end, close to five.
So that must be kind of the collector's end up there, right?
Yeah. 4750 is probably the highest I saw.
Wow. I haven't seen them going, I mean, locally, I've seen them going about the 28 range lately. But that's great if they're actually selling higher than that online.
The last one that sold was 35 bids on it. It was a 4,700.
My goodness. Maybe the market's rebounding a bit, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Just this month, we had another one go for 4,000 with 19 bids on it.
Sheesh. I was just going off.
I'm sorry, that was last month.
Yeah, I was just going off of some local listings lately, but I guess nationally, maybe we're selling a little bit cheaper out here.
Yeah.
When I was buying it, the average price seemed to be about $3,200 to $3,400. So when I was able to get it at the price I did, I jumped at it immediately.
Sure.
And that was actually a really nice KLOV member who gave me a discount because I was shipping, and I had sold him some stuff below cost as well. So it was kind of a pat on the back deal. But I think as far as the price goes, if you're looking at $3,400, that's there's not a lot of machines that you could say are worth that. I would say Twilight Zone might be one of the few, depending on your tastes. Mm-hmm. But there's not...
And I would actually say it's kind of a classic theme, too.
Yes.
Like, everybody knows Twilight Zone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would recommend it. Even at that price, if you can afford that, like, if it's going to come down to owning, you know, two or three different machines or Twilight Zone, then it gets a little bit tough. But if you have room in your budget for one, I think it's worth that price.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Twilight Zone, and that's our physical machine. And you've been playing a digital table lately, and I haven't been able to try this one, so I'm interested to see what you say about it. And that would be Pinballistic, available for PlayStation Network. What do you have to say about this one?
Pinballistic came out on PSN about, I think it was November 1st, so about 2 weeks ago. It's actually kind of a unique game. It's sort of like Joust, if you've ever played that, or Challenger, in that it's two tables kind of glued together, and so the ball can go from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So this time they're side by side, and I think the game was $4, $3.99, and it's kind of cool. They call it Battle Pinball, so the right side pinball machine will start with a blue ball, the left side with a red ball or whatever. And certain shots cause your ball to go into the other side. If your ball drains on their side, then you get a point. If their own ball drains on their side, then they just get their ball back. But there's like different attacks you can do. Like the game that comes with it is I forget the name of it, but it's like a Wild West one. Circle the Wagons, that's what it's called. Circle the Wagons. And so there's a pistol in the middle of the table that will shoot balls at either side. There's showgirls that'll pop up and kind of do a can-can dance. And then you can send, like, a sandstorm over to the other player, so you can't really see what's going on. It was a lot of fun. My wife and I played it, and I've got a 46-inch TV. I think on a smaller TV it might be a little more difficult, but, you know, we felt comfortable. On our table, both sides of the table were the same, but there was one area in the top center, like a mini playfield, that was unique in that whoever got there first, you know, got to take advantage of it. It was like a little bar. You can also play it one player, but it cuts the table in half. Like, you play it kind of like a normal pinball machine.
Huh.
The one thing I didn't like, and I know I praised it in Pinball FX, was the DLC. The game only comes with one table, Circle the Wagons. There's two other tables available. It's like a 70s, like, wealthy, it's called Made of Money, and it's like glamour and glitz. And, which Playboy is it? There's a Playboy game where there's like a hidden shot in one of the slingshots where it's like a champagne bottle and it shoots the ball out like a cork popping.
Uh-huh.
And they do that same thing. There's a yacht on there and there's fountains and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And in that one, each side of the table is actually different. So you're actually hitting different shots and different ramps.
Does it seem pretty balanced as far as that goes?
Yeah, it does. But to play that game is another... It's either $3 or $4 just to download that second table.
Okay.
And you get to play it for 1 minute otherwise. And I just kind of balked at that price. Maybe because it's in dollars and not in gamer points or whatever, Microsoft points.
Yeah.
That I was like, whoa, man, $4. So there's also like a sci-fi one called Sector X, which I actually did not like because the left table, I played the left table and my wife played the right table. There's like a giant spaceship that covers up your right flipper if you're on the left side of the table. So you can't see what, you can never tell when the ball's coming down the little, you know, behind the slingshot, the out lane or whatever. It was really difficult for me to hit balls on the right side, where on her side, she could see both of her flippers fine.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty bad usability issue on that.
That's a big balance issue. Oh. But the ship flies around. I mean, there's ways to get it out of the way. But for the most part, it sits there, and that was pretty frustrating. And again, that's another $3 or $4 if you want to play that one. So it's a very cool idea. I love the battle mechanic. And if you've ever played a Joust pinball machine in real life, it's actually a really cool game when you know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to find.
Yeah, they had a Joust at the Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown 2 years ago.
Yeah. Kevin from Lions Pinball brings his Joust every year. Yeah. And it's a really cool game. And this, you know, did you ever see the Total Recall mock-up?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Where it's like two pinball machines mating at the top. Yeah. That's sort of what this looks like.
Interesting, yeah. I like checking all those things out. I just haven't had a chance to get around to that one. But overall, what do you feel as far as value goes? Is it worth it? Or is it kind of hold off, maybe see if it drops in price? Or
I would say download it. You get the one table. And I didn't feel ripped off that I had bought the game initially. And then if you really love it and you have somebody there to play with you, it's probably worth buying the other tables.
Okay.
I think I got $4 of fun out of it. And, the graphics are pretty good. The sound is cool. Like on that Made of Money mode, there's a helicopter sitting between the two tables. And when the helicopter flies off, there's basically a giant gap between your tables. So then it gets really crazy, the ball going back and forth. I mean, there's obviously a lot of thought put into the game. I think it's definitely worth a try. Anybody that likes virtual pinball or wants to play a game side-by-side with somebody, it's a different kind of game that we will probably never see again.
That's cool.
In a physical table.
That's cool. So, do you know if they plan on releasing even more tables, or has that not been announced yet?
I don't know, but the company that did it is Create Games. It's like the word create, but without the last E on the end there.
Okay.
Or Crete Studios. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, they've done a lot of PSN games that have a lot of DLC.
Okay.
Like Magic Balls or whatever, Cuboid.
Okay.
Their games are known for having lots of DLC.
Yeah, so hopefully more tables come out. It could turn into a pretty cool platform.
Yeah. It's definitely a cool idea.
Very nice. Well, let's move on to the location report. And we got a suggestion, and this is something I'd actually heard of, but I'd never looked into it, just given where it was. But let me pull this up, and it was they were pretty enthusiastic with their recommendation, probably kind of how I was with last week's Nickel Mania. But this one came in from Kevin, and he is suggesting Pinballs Arcade, and that's Pinballs with a Z. It's in Austin, Texas. And they do have a website. The website for it is just pinballsarcade.com. Again, that's pinballs with a Z. And the game list on this place, it's very impressive. It it looks like they also have great classic and current arcade games. A lot of really desirable arcade games if you're into those. But the pinball list is huge. And if I was ever in the area, it would be a priority stop in for me. I'd read the list, but it's too long. It's really quite a long list of pinball machines. It's over 100, and it ranges from the newest Stern games all the way, going down to your classics from all the manufacturers. So, and some stuff that you don't generally see as well. Some of the oddballs like Gottlieb Surf and Safari or $6 Million Man from Bali. I mean, the kind of stuff you just never see on location, but they get passed around in collections once in a while. A Jackbot, that's a machine I used to own, but I almost never, ever see that on location.
We've actually got one here. I played this weekend.
Really? I love that game. I really do.
Yeah, it's a great game.
I feel really bad I sold that one. I made the mistake of shopping it out fully, posting pictures online, and then, of course, someone comes in with that offer that you'd just be wrong to refuse.
Yeah. But, I also played a Theater of Magic this weekend, and I was kind of in that same boat, like, man, I wish I hadn't sold this.
Yeah. So, I mean, they even have shuffle bowlers and stuff, so it looks like a great place to go. Pinballs Arcade, Austin, Texas, and from what it sounds like, the owners are very much enthusiasts as far as preservation of the games and stuff goes. So stop in if you're ever in the Austin area. And if you live there and you haven't been, shame on you. You need to be supporting location. So thanks to Kevin for sending that in. If you guys have anything as far as suggestions to play go, even if it's a little movie theater that has two or three pinball machines in the corner, but they're well taken care of, we want to hear about it. So thanks for that.
Yeah, this seems like more of a destination spot. I'm surprised we don't hear about it more often.
I know. If you look at the pictures and the game list, it's right up there with like the amusement park in Phoenix, the Castles and Coasters.
They have way more games than Castles and Coasters.
Yeah, and you hear about that all the time. I mean, that's legendary. So maybe this is just one of those things that just not enough people who, from the right message boards have gotten out to or something yet. But
yeah.
We'll have to hear about it. The other thing, as we mentioned last time, is some of the issues we've had with our machines. I mentioned my Lord of the Rings, where the ball comes out in, weird, inconsistent fashion as far as the plunger goes. I didn't get a whole lot of suggestions, but I got a few things to try. But I kind of wanted to focus on your Roadshow issue. So real quick, can you kind of explain what was going on with that, and then I'll read some of the suggestions we got.
The right flipper would kind of stick or kind of hang for just a split second, and then the more you play the game or the longer you hold the flipper button, the longer it would hang. And it became, I wouldn't say unplayable, but very frustrating. So we got some really good suggestions, though, if you want to read them.
Okay.
So stuff of that, I pretty much replaced everything and tried everything, I went on many message boards, and we couldn't get to the root of it.
Okay, so Rob and Mike both sent in similar suggestions. I'll go ahead and just read their emails as they're pretty close to the same suggestion. But it's something that's interesting, and it's a problem I hadn't heard of before. And when two people mentioned it, it's kind of put it on my radar of things to look out for when things go weird. This is the email that Rob sent us. He said, I have some suggestions for the pinball problems you talked about. You may have heard these from others, but here goes. I had the same problem with a sporadically sticky flipper on an Indiana Jones that I had to fix. The problem was probably a magnetized or deformed coil stop. When I replaced the coil stop with one I had lying around, the problem disappeared. You can test this theory by swapping the coil stops on the lower flippers and see if the problem swaps as well. The malfunctioning opto on the WCS works when the playing field is up, but when it's not down, sounds like a bad connection. Fiddle with the wires to the switch when the playfield is down to see if it fixes the problem. If it does, you probably need to resolder something or possibly keep the connection to the opto board. Now, these are some things you've tried, and the problem has persisted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Mike's email, which is similar, he says, "Hey, I've heard the plunger and stop can become magnetized over time. Sometimes the plunger will begin to stick, and it's due to mechanical reasons. A way to isolate the problem as being mechanical or electrical, it would put your DMM across the coil and see if you've got juice flowing while the flipper is hanging. So similar suggestions, but that last one right there is checking to see if while the flipper is hung, if it's being energized. Have you tried that at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it might be one to check. Maybe there's kind of like some residual charge or something that's getting through when it's enough to keep it up. But I actually hadn't heard about the magnetized coil stop. That one's new to me.
Yeah, I hadn't either, but it's a good thing to look for. And my back's in good shape now, so I'll be checking it out, and hopefully it gets to the root of it.
Right, and even if it's not a problem, thank you guys for sending those in, because if other people have similar issues and that turns out to be it, you've saved them a huge headache. I had another issue with my Lord of the Rings that plagued me for probably 3 or 4 months. I went through multiple RGP threads. Sorry, guys, for reposting the same question, but eventually someone helped me nail it down, and it was the night before a big party, and I've never had the issue again, and it was awesome. And so just when someone finally gets that to click for you, it's a big deal. So thanks for sending those in. If any of you guys out there have any other strange issues going on, let us know. We'd love to share them with the audience and see if we can help find you an answer. So, we're kind of running out of things here, but for those that participated in our contest, either, I guess it was one of those things that you could participate without even knowing, but basically we were giving away 5 color-changing LEDs, and we're going to do it, just give it to someone who liked us on our Facebook page. And I've gone ahead and assigned a number to all of our followers on our Facebook page. So what I need you to do now, Don, is give me a number 1 through 44, and I will select the winner, and we'll be contacting them by email or through Facebook. If we don't hear back from them, we'll select someone else, but give us a number real quick.
All right, today's the 13th, so let's go 13.
All right, let me pull up my list. All right, we have a winner, and it is Tom Black. So, Tom, we'll be contacting you, and if we have any issues getting in contact with you, feel free to contact us, but I'm going to be going to contact you right after we're done recording the show, so you'll probably hear from me before you actually hear yourself announced as the winner. So, yeah. Funny how that works, but if for some reason we can't get in touch with you, Tom, we'll give you a few days, though. We'll pick someone else, but thanks for everybody who's liked the page. We're going to do another contest this show, but first we're going to have another little product review from Don again. And Don, you were going to talk a little bit about the colored acorn nuts that are available at Pinball Life. So,
yeah, I was putting together a big order on Pinball Life, and you know, over the couple of days, just throwing them in there. They came up with these colored acorn nuts, and almost immediately a friend emailed me about them. Like, hey, have you seen these? So it's kind of a cool thing. The little, I think, what are they, nylon nuts that some of the kind of 80s games more prevalently use. Mm-hmm. I was shopping out a Pinbot at the time, so I said, hey, let me get some red and blue ones, and I'll put blue on one side, red on the other, just like the playfield. I will say, when they came, they look good, but they weren't as brilliant looking as the colors online. They were kind of a duller red and a duller blue. They still look good, but I was expecting a real big pop.
Right.
And so I replaced the acorn nuts just wherever an accent made sense. And I like them. Your average person doesn't notice them, but the average pinball player does, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, that's kind of cool. Where'd you find those? Or they're really reasonably priced. They're 40 cents each.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, you know, comfortable with that. I'm not sure how much a white acorn nut is. I guess I didn't check the difference.
But yeah, I'm not sure what the difference is on them. You do, if you order through Pinball Life, get a discount. 10% off if you order 25 or more, up to 500. So basically every 10th one is free.
Yeah.
So
I ordered maybe, you know, 5 or 6 of each one. Okay, here we go. A natural nylon acorn nut is 18 cents.
Okay.
So they're twice as much, but it's still 40 cents.
Right. If you're one of those people that really likes to kind of get down and make sure all the colors are coordinated on your machines, I mean, it's a pretty cheap investment to go that direction with it. So
they've got 7 different colors too.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, the colors available, they got red, blue, purple, green, black, yellow, and orange. So overall, pretty cool little mod. Obviously, it's one of those things that you can reverse without any sort of effort. I love easily reversible mods or color changing type of things. But well, thanks. So what we thought we'd do is, just like last show, is we'll give away some of these. And in order to win, all you need to do is either comment on the blog, which is thepinballpodcast.com, comment on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/pinballpodcast, or send us an email to comment on the show. Basically, interact with us in some way. And we'll throw you 10 colored ones, and we'll pick 2 winners on this one. So 2 winners will get 10 each, and you can choose the colors, let us know where to send them, and we'll get them sent out. But it's kind of fun seeing these products pop up that don't necessarily do anything for the functionality of the machine, but it gives you an excuse to pull the glass off and work on them a little bit more and, you know, make them a little bit more attractive looking. So
sure, yeah.
Kind of fun stuff. That's all I've got for the show this week. Don, do you have anything that you wanted to slip in there before we call it a show?
No. Did you mention the Twitter address?
I did not. I'm
just at Pinball Podcast. Yep. Pretty easy. One word.
Yeah, and we do check that, and as well as the emails. So if you want to tweet at us or whatever, we can use those comments for this show. Again, we're very happy when people leave feedback, be it positive or negative, as long as it's constructive. We love hearing from you guys.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. Yeah, let us know what you want. Let us know what you like or don't like. We want to make this a show for collectors.
Yep.
So.
And as far as format goes, we are more than open to changing stuff up. If you like you said, if there's things you want to see that we're not doing, or if there's stuff you just don't like, we want to know, because we want this to be fun. So, well, I think that's it for me. If you want to email us, it's just pinballpodcast@gmail.com. It's a great way to get in touch with us regarding issues you might have with pinball machines, location suggestions, whatever it might be. And we'll get back to you on that. So everybody out there, thanks for listening. I don't have anything as far as promotional stuff to share. I just want to thank everybody for helping us do the show. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
So
get out there and play some pinball.
Definitely. And until the next show, we're out.